You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
We're on the air. Welcome to Cameron Sports and Life. 9 years of radio excellence. We've been doing talk radio for a long time.
Yes.
I've been in radio in 30 years.
Well, I'm glad to share 4 years of them with you, Cameron.
Yeah.
My mentor, man.
And then Candy with us. We had a lot of nice people working with us, and we try to hone them down to the craft. And then I interview people. We're going to have, by the way, from Good Times, we're trying to get John Amos on.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Talk about how LA was during the riot.
Right.
And he couldn't get a job.
Wow.
You know, he's telling about Black America. It's just what you hear, the stories. Anyway, we're going to have a great show tonight. I wanted to introduce some things that happened. You know, there was a shooting today?
I heard, yes.
In Indiana.
Yeah, mother and daughter right inside a restaurant while they're having lunch were killed. By who? Did you hear who the suspect was?
We were going to find out. What I'm going to do is, when my phone gets a little energized, we're going to find out who, what, and where, and when. And that's kind of, it's too many shootings. I had a commentary last week. You weren't here, but I talked about the shooting in Texas. It's just too many shootings. Either we get gun control, or what we do is we ban guns. Because too many guns on the street, it's going to produce this. And remember I said that many
trigger
times?
Trigger words, yes.
And everyone said to me, if everyone had a gun, we'd be safer. No, we wouldn't. If a teacher had a gun while this was going on, we still wouldn't be safer. Guns bring people to a different level. And what happened, in war, people use guns,
yes,
weapons. The place is never the same. So what I'm saying is, what happened in Indiana is really a blueprint of what's going to happen more or less. And I was told by a psychic that we're going to have a big shooting. Next one's going to be about 100 people dying.
Oh. Safety systems are important for gun control as well. You know, if a safety system starts to be applied to all guns when people buy their guns and a background check is done, it prevents anybody from using that gun besides the owner.
Yeah, but still, like remember the young kid in Texas? That was his father's gun. It wasn't his gun. And the problem what's going on is, in the law, you have kids using their father's gun, and then they go crazy. They go on, like the guy in Vegas, who brings a gun to a hotel suite and, an outside venue. In fact, Shannon, our good friend, got shot.
And survived, thank God.
And survived it.
She did.
She will never go to outside concert.
Well, think
that's
about
scary.
How they're soft targets. Everybody from other countries who are coming here fleeing from the violence are saying these targets like Disney World are just open targets for us to walk in. We don't go there anymore.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Well, what they need to do, my opinion, is you're going to have to, gun control is still the issue. And until we really get into it, I think the president is hiding behind his friendship with the NRA. NRA are a bunch of idiots, because all they do propose is more guns. They don't look at what they do. They have these ads. You see who the ad is now?
Diane Feinstein has her ad campaign based on the gun violence of the 26 and 7 year olds that were killed. Senator Feinstein has a great platform to speak about gun control.
You saw
control.
Her ad. She had a nice ad about the guns.
Yeah, I think she
and
really
so did. Gavin Newsom
wants to start
Gabrielle Giffords and her husband,
yes,
the astronaut.
Yes, she was the victim of gun violence. I spoke to Grace Napolitano's office. She's congressperson over Laverne, where I live in my city. So, Senator Feinstein and her office are lining up against gun violence. We're doing that together.
She's going to win. I don't think.
Oh, Senator Feinstein, I'm promoting you right now. I hope all California votes you in. One more.
Governor Gavin Newsom, because I don't see any of the Republicans really challenging him. And if you see the other commercials, like John Chang, the treasurer. So he saved this money, but yet he didn't know how to count the money. So he's running for governor. And then we got Antonio
Villaraigosa.
He loves the women. I don't think we have enough women for Antonio Villaraigosa.
He's running down the middle in his campaign.
I saw him.
Well, he's a lover, right? So
he likes the young reporters at KTLA Channel 5. The young reporters there. In fact, I met her when she was dating him, and I said, "Come on, are you having fun with the mayor?" She looked at me. She had, you know, like rosy red cheeks. She says, "Of course." So there you go. There
Ryan you go. Seacrest loves his bike shorts he wears when he rides in Los Angeles. He said yeah. He had to pay attention to the biking shorts he wears when he rides the Ciclovia, maybe in Los Angeles.
Well, he he's 64 years old, 63. I didn't know that. Anyway, sorry about the violence. We'll get an update on that. We also had a kind of a weird day where Curry, you know, the greatest player for Golden State, some NBA fan heckled her and bumped into her pregnant stomach. That was been in the news today. Weird stuff. People have nothing better to do. That was in the news today. And also, there was a mystery wolf, like creature, shot and killed in Montana. They think it's a cobra.
Oh, chupacabra.
That's what they think.
Bloodsucker. Yeah. Oh, do we? I think they are.
No, they have. This
is it. Great reason to fear bloodsucking creatures that are still unknown to us.
Yeah, well, we don't know. And then Nicki Minaj reveals she's dating Eminem. Well, we knew about that because Eminem was at the Music Awards.
Wow, Eminem shooting high. Congratulations.
He's a rich guy. What do you want? And then Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, they're not finalizing their divorce. We knew that because when there's kids involved and there's money involved like they have,
Miss United Nations Queen.
It ain't going to be finalized.
Right.
Also, okay. What I want to talk about, we'll talk about later with UFO. We got the latest UFO sightings, what's going on, and we're getting a lot of them now. Because as 2018 is passing, or midterm, you're going to see a lot of situations where people can see UFOs. And in fact, there was a governor of Arizona that said he's seen 5.
Okay, right. Remember he stepped up real quick in the big 1990s sighting over Arizona.
The Phoenix Lights.
Yes, he made a big spoof about it and apologized afterwards. He made fun of it and then came out and said, "I'm really sorry for making fun of what all of you say you saw."
5 of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 5 sightings. Anyway, we're going to have a great show tonight. We'll introduce your guest.
Okay, great. We have David Lazar here.
And
he's here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
He's here with his organization for Mesopotamian Christians in Iraq. If you want to give yourself
we had someone on last week. You probably know the guy, a young man, came on. He talked about him, but what we didn't get from him was how we could support Christians in Iraq.
Right, he's the very American good guy, Mesopotamian organization.
But I think what he needed to do was you got to connect with the embassies. You got to connect with a lot of different countries, find out what they're doing.
Right.
So tell us the plight. We've heard it last week and the week before. So tell us what we can do in the United States to help.
Well, just to give you a brief background.
Sure.
On the situation. So the original people of Iraq, Iraq is a country that gained its independence in 1932 from Britain. Right. And was comprised of three Ottoman provinces that were put together. And basically that area covered what was historical Assyria, Babylon, and Sumer in the south. So
now you're talking about Babylon. We're gonna go a little reaching out there for our listeners. Now Babylon is how far what was Babylon to what is current day Iraq?
It's near Baghdad.
Okay, so near Baghdad. Okay.
Yeah, so it's in the center of the country.
So folks out there, what we're trying to do is we break down little things because we don't want people to say, "We didn't understand what happened."
Right.
Okay, so we got Baghdad, the great country.
Yes.
And it was.
Yes.
The greatest.
The Babylon, yes. And then, so the original people of Iraq are the Assyrian, Assyrians. And they are from the northern part of the country. Okay. And Assyrians, along with Armenians and Greeks, suffered massacres, the genocide of 1915,
right,
at the hands of Turks and Kurds. Everybody talks only about Turks and the Ottomans committing the genocide,
too.
But Kurds were involved, heavily involved. As a matter of fact, if the Kurdish tribes were not aiding the Turkish military, a lot of people would have survived. So the after the fall of Saddam, or removal, or liberating, whatever you want to call it, which was, I supported at that time because I was part of the Iraqi opposition, But now I look back and say, so it was a big mistake removing him.
Why do you say that?
Because it was to chaos, the chaos that happened.
Uh-huh.
We spend, this country here spend maybe trillions of dollars and forget the money. You know, the money
right.
You know, comes and goes.
Money comes and goes.
But we had over 5,000 young men and women killed and injured, and some of them are injured for life.
Right.
So, it wasn't worth it. And then now Iran has a big influence in Iraq, and the mullahs of Tehran have big influence in Iraq.
But I have to ask you, because I'm following with Iran right now, because, you know, I have someone, a girlfriend that is Iranian, and what I find is they don't want to talk about a lot of the stuff. They want to talk about how they're helping Iraq, how they're helping that area. Saudi Arabia wants them the hell out of there. Let me get this call. We got a call right now. Let's get it.
Okay.
You're on the air, Cameron Sports and Life. Welcome.
Is this Dean, Mr. Radin?
It is, yes.
Oh, boy. Yes. We're excited to have your presence with us right now, too. As we're talking,
yeah, tell us about this person.
Oh, Dean, Mr. Dean Radin, needs no introduction in my eyes. He's very well known for his study in noetic sciences and his institute. He goes a long ways back with Coast to Coast and Art Bell and George Norrie, who we've all listened along with for such a long time.
Right.
We're happy to share some context earlier. Uri Geller's, taken my life. I've shared a little bit with Mr. Radin here and some of the projects that, Uri and I have been as part of and, with the Air Force as a small group and cohort.
Maybe what you could do is, Mr. Rain, welcome to our show. Maybe you can express to our listeners, some people are just starting to get into, you know, the facets of the UFOs, the sightings, the different things that we cover. Tell us, your aspect of all this. What is your, importance of all this? How do you grasp all this?
Well, I work at the Institute of Noetic Sciences,
okay,
which was started by Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut.
Right.
And when Edgar went to the moon, as you can imagine, he had to rely completely on science and technology.
Right.
But in coming back to the Earth, he had an unexpected mystical experience. He felt like his mind expanded to encompass the entire universe.
Okay.
And as you can imagine, that was a little bit surprising to him as a scientist and a Navy pilot and astronaut.
Right.
So he founded our institute about almost 45 years ago as a way of using the tools and techniques of science to try to understand what is a mystical experience. Is it a hallucination or is it something real? And what we generally do, what I do with the six other scientists at our institute, is study primarily psychic phenomena. We do that because things like telepathy and clairvoyance and so on are easily amenable to being studied in the laboratory under controlled conditions.
Okay.
So
great.
That's what we do.
Oh, Mr.
Rand, and that's what I do.
We have the Jungian. C.G. Jung had chimed in a bit about mystical experiences and what they are: transient, noetic. Transient, noetic.
Maybe you want to explain to the listeners, because you know what it is? I know with Art Bell, the great, late Art Bell, he would explain something, but people say, what did he say?
Immutable, so ineffable.
Maybe explain it to our listeners to break it down a little bit, what this all means.
Yeah, so a noetic experience in a simple form is intuition. It's gut feelings. So to give a real-life example, You're driving along somewhere and you've taken this route a million times before and you're coming up to an intersection where you have a green light and the cross street has a red light.
Okay.
But as you start to approach the green light, you get a bad feeling in the pit of your stomach. And so there's something wrong about this intersection. You can't name what it is, but you get this intuitive hit that you better slow down. So you do. So you slow down, and cars behind you are wondering, what are you doing? Because you have a green light. So you slow down.
Sure.
You keep slowing down until you get to the intersection, and then suddenly a truck barrels through the red light crosswise. And if you had kept going at the normal speed, it would have hit you broadside. You might have been killed. Mm-hmm. So that's an everyday example of a gut feeling, which saves your life.
Go ahead.
So what we do in the laboratory is take episodes like that, everyday experiences that people talk about as telepathy, mind-to-mind connections, or in this case, it was a precognition of something bad about to occur, we find ways of studying those kinds of phenomena in the laboratory under controlled conditions.
Great.
Because if somebody has an experience in the real world, you never quite know. Maybe they saw something out of the corner of their eye, or maybe there's some other explanation. But in the laboratory, we can exclude all of the usual explanations, and the only thing that's left over is a genuine psychic phenomenon. That's what we study.
Back to the psychic.
Right. Going back to university studies, I've studied at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas with Professor Holbert, who invited me down to the laboratory. Him and his colleague, I don't know his name, coined the near-death experience term. And I was down there for a week and paid for my own hotel stay, and Nellis Air Force Base called them on my behalf, and he said, if you want to participate, come on down. And it's about knowing your basic inner experiences, and it was a week-long study, just having a little piece in my ear, which would randomly buzz 6 times a day in a notepad and pen. And as it beeped, I would give him my moment of the beep experiences. Mm-hmm. And he factored down, saying I was one of two types who do not know their basic instant recalls of experience, and said that you're more likely to focus on the paranormal indeed compared to those who know them. And I also work with Garrett Modell of Boulder, Colorado University. His colleague, Mark Barash, also joined together in the studies for psychic phenomenon, quantum mechanics and whatnot. I'm sure you know Mark Barash.
These are all my buddies. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, there you go. Back long time with me.
Well, anyway, what I was going to ask you, because I was a big fan of those before when Art Bell was around, and also Nori and all of them, they would bring people on with your knowledge. And what I have found of going through an encounter with a UFO is that you never forget that encounter. Because I've had the encounters with them. In fact, what I've seen is a light that is so, you know, warm that it could be misconstrued
as
a spiritual light. But it's actually a UFO.
I would say the same thing, Cameron, because when I hear God's voice, it reminds me of a sunny, warm day.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying,
so it's pretty common for advanced meditators to talk about a yellowish light that is so brilliant that it seems as though you can't actually look at it, but it's not located anywhere. You're just in it. And it's described often as blissful. It's simply, it's a place you want to be. So I've experienced that as well, always in meditation, and not very many times. But it definitely does happen. And from a neuroscience point of view, we don't actually know what that light is. It might not be something that can be described in physical terms, but it's something that does happen to people, sometimes spontaneously and sometimes in meditation.
I think it's a great door to open up AI experiments.
True, because
observation of humans under that light for AI to observe us and make choices based on our own reactions, so they can take in the most human kind of data, seeing how man responds to these kinds of lights.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I was going to ask you is this, because I experienced a UFO encounter, you know, like I said, you never forget, but the main thing, what I found was the experience never leaves yourself. Because I know Danny had an experience.
Right, and you said that God will never leave me, because if it's God, he'll never leave me. And I think that has been holding true, that nothing's departing. God, that light keeps staying.
Well,
with me.
The light is there, and but what I'm trying to say is that it comes back. It doesn't leave you. It comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's pretty good, Cameron.
My very question to you would be, people, when they do have experience, and I've talked to a lot of the, you know, professionals that contact in the desert and what have you, and a lot of them couldn't give me my answer. And we had pretty good people there, but a lot of them were, you know, generally interested in instant gratification. And I don't think it's instant gratification. I think once you have an experience, you never forget that experience. Is that about right?
Yeah, and the same is true for people who describe a near-death experience.
Yeah.
There have been studies that show that for people who remember their near-death experience, whether it seemed like it was short or long, they remember it in the same detail 20 to 40 years later. And that's very different than usual kinds of memories.
Right.
There's some kinds of memories, usually traumatic ones, that people can remember for the rest of their life in great detail. But the near-death experience usually is a pleasant experience, not a traumatic one. And it's still remembered in enormous detail, and it never fades.
Well, you know,
so we don't quite understand how that's possible, but nevertheless, it demonstrably exists.
Yeah, that's true, because we say, you know, if you have a near-death experience, you at that time and moment, you have that feeling. And my mom, it was funny, my mom died this year, and she had an experience where she felt my family was welcoming her to heaven. She told me that once, and I said, wow, you're listening to her, and she's telling how heaven is so beautiful, you know, in her
yes,
and then she experienced it a month later. She died. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Yeah. There are two related phenomena. One's called deathbed visions, and that's for people who are attending the bedside of a dying person. When the person actually passes, there are all kinds of strange anomalies that are reported. There's a mist, there's a light, there's a feeling of something changing in the room energetically.
Right.
And so hospice nurses report this, family members report this. That's pretty common. The second thing is called terminal lucidity. So terminal lucidity means that a person might have pretty advanced Alzheimer's or dementia and is dying, but moments before they die, it's as though they suddenly become lucid. And so they recognize people in the room, they talk to them, basically they say goodbye, and then they're dead. So again, in both cases, these are truly anomalous events.
Wow.
They suggest that there's something very unusual going on that is not related to the body itself, but to something else.
Hmm.
Something, I mean, a religious person would say a soul, perhaps, but whatever it happens to be called, there's some kind of a transition happening that from a neuroscience or medical point of view is extremely strange.
Interesting. Because, you know, for example, when you have surgery and they put you out with, you know, sedate you, you're in a different world. It's like your body's traveling all over. And it's very interesting what you said, because my mom was telling me about seeing what the gates of heaven would look like.
I think when you get to that near-death experience as well, we have that amygdala part of our brain that filters out thousands of bits of information all the time. Right. And it comes down to maybe five pieces of information it treats like bits a computer would. And those bits just stick out. Like, just think how amazing our minds would be and how much they are to save our lives, to take those last moments to focus on what's important, faces of people, sounds of people's voices, all very slowed down.
I was going to say, for time-wise, because we want to interview the guy here.
Yes.
Let's do this.
I'm so glad
we'd love to have you back. And I'm going to look in my research. I have people I've interviewed from Contact in the Desert, and people I've met in Vegas and all over that have had experiences. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you back if it's possible.
Mr. Radin, is it possible to have you back
again for another interview?
Oh, Mr. Radin, it's been an honor. Yeah. I'm glad we got to pull you into our UFO conversation here in the studio.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
And I've heard him on Art Bell show, because I knew Art in a weird way because I was a broadcaster, and Art was doing something different in our medium. And now I'm going into his medium, and I'm finding that I'm taking a different approach, because I want people to understand what we're doing, what we're saying, you know. But we appreciate your time, and we really appreciate Danny hooking you up to our show. And Danny, you'll get him back.
Yes, sir. It's been an honor.
Thanks,
big
Mr.
honor.
Radin. Thank you very much.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Radin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'll email you some
very interesting. Danny got a very interesting call there, because this guy had this experience with people that, you know, even with near death, and also different experiences of, you know, UFOs.
The UFOs. Jose Escamilla. Now, Travis Walton, my cousin's grandfather employed Travis Walton and has close or first-hand memoirs of the
really?
Event.
Oh, really?
We
got to talk to Jessica.
Yes, yes. We got to get
Jessica Stein.
Yes.
We're going to have Travis Walton possibly in studio. So we're going to have him and Jessica.
Yeah. Travis Walton's noetic experiences are one to learn from.
Yeah.
You know, he has a very high perspective on what the noetic experiences as intuition would have them define.
And now, as he's gotten older, he says he don't know if he could go through that experience again, Travis Walton. Anyway, let's get back to the show because
okay, David.
People are here. Thank you so much. And let's get back to, we're talking about Iraq and then we have this young lady and because of time. So tell us, we talked about the Assyrians. And by the way, there are Assyrian churches.
Yes.
In the San Fernando.
Yes.
And all over. Say I did my homework.
Yes.
Do my homework.
Yes. So there are several churches here.
Let me ask you this. But all that's going on right now.
Yes.
The U.S. wants the power. Whoever, you know, the U.S. is interested in the power and what have you. Where do you see this going with Iran playing the card of, you know, they're playing the bad guy?
Well, Iran has definitely a lot of influence in Iraq.
Right.
They have, you know, these Shiite militias that they're supporting right. and all that. But in the last year or so, or year and a half, the new administration has supported the Iraqi government.
Right.
And so it actually stabilized it. And Iran's influence started to decrease. So the approach, I think, is correct, because if you want to stand up against to Iran, you need a strong and stable Iraq.
Right.
And that's what we had before. And that's why when the mullahs came, Khomeini came, Iraq was strong. And although Saddam went into an 8-year war,
right.
but still Iran was at, held Iran at bay.
Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say about Iran. What about the United States playing that same thing against the mullahs? Because the mullahs are not that strong as people would think.
No, well, the economy is in shambles. Yeah. And the Iranian people are, you know, fun loving and they're adventurous.
They like the party.
They, you know, they're, and we see a lot of them here. We have, people. I'm sure all of us
have many
friends, you know,
fathers.
Yeah, yeah. So they're good people. They're, you know, this government does not reflect the, you know, the culture of the Iranian people.
Well, it puts them back.
Yes.
It puts them way back.
Yes.
And then Iran, launched missiles to go to Israel. I know about that story, about what happened. Cause, you know, the thing is, Iran wants to be the bad boy. Israel is one of the players. Saudi Arabia and Israel just did a treaty. It will come out soon.
Right.
That's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yes.
With the treaty. Because, you know, Saudi Arabia knows that they have to depend on Israel to be forced together.
Well, it's a sectarian war that's been going on for over 1,400 years. So when there is always a rise of in Shiite Islam,
yeah.
then there's a Sunni Islam to
yeah.
you know rise also. And when there is a rise of in jihadism and Sunni Islam, then you'll see a reaction from the Shiite camp. And
right.
in the 60s and 70s, we had a rise in Sunni, and Saudi Arabia was leading that effort.
Right.
They were spending billions of dollars in establishing madrasas all over the, you know, in Islamic
right.
countries and creating entities and organizations like the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Right.
So then you saw a reaction from the Shiite camp and then the mullahs came to power in Iran. So this cycle, it continues on and on. You know, even in the 16th, 17th century, you know, with the Ottoman, you know, the Turks were
right.
Sunnis, then you'll see the Iran taking on the Shiite faith just to fight. And, you know, so it's always on, you know, so.
So what we're going to see probably in the next months to come is that now if Trump plays hardball with them, which he's doing right now.
He is. And I think it's a good approach.
And the way what he did, you know, he's go back to the Korea talks.
Yes.
Today,
yes.
They announced to go back to Korea.
Playing hardball.
What he's doing, he's playing hardball, and Iran has never faced American leaders and say, you know what, go blank yourself.
No, I mean, Secretary Pompeo said we will crush Iran.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a clear message.
Yeah.
So we will crush Iran, and we can.
Now, what about Russia's
involvement Russia play
in Iran?
Well, they have good relations because they don't have too many trading partners. So they're all,
right.
you know, under embargoes and stuff. And so, and they have common borders. So they try always to keep, but it's a theocracy.
Right.
So there is limits to how much they can, you know, how close they can get together. So,
right.
yeah.
Well, what's the benefit? I always think, what is the benefit? Is there a possibility?
Give them a couple more minutes and
okay,
we're going to get
great.
The other folks
involving
in.
Other nations that are separated yeah. into one. That, you can't really add to the whole people group.
I didn't understand.
Well, say for instance, if California secedes from the United States, the people here would be a conglomerate of the population already who would benefit from what they have. But bringing, like, say for instance, scientists and keeping them in collections, we don't share with other nations. We keep scientists of their own from here. And it's just kind of like saying the integration of other nations into the powers that we hold aren't always
yeah, but it's a different situation
to share and participate
because,
with
because for like, them to participate. The gentleman saying is that because of their history. The yes. battles, and you got to remember, goes back thousands of years.
Yes.
And even the first Iranians, they weren't Muslim. When Islam came to Iran, they fought with the people. I forgot the.
They invaded, they invaded.
They invaded, and they weren't very nice.
And they converted by force, yes.
Yeah.
We need to give them aid, I think. I think what the story lies here is, like you said, funding and delivering goods and services.
Well, in Iraq,
that's important to have.
In Iraq, the victims of ISIS genocide, who are the Assyrians, Yazidis, and the Turkmen, especially the Shiite Turkmen,
right.
we've united, come together, and we're asking for a region of our own where we can, you know, all the Christians, Yazidis, and Muslims living together, and we've never had any issues with each other.
What countries are supporting you right now?
Well, the United States finally changed its policies. So aid, we used to go through the Kurdish regional government or through the
right.
Baghdad government. They're both corrupt.
Right, that's true.
So a lot of the aid was not getting to the people.
Right.
So we were able to, we did a lot of advocacy work, my organizations and others, and we were able to change the policy of there. So now aid is going directly.
That's a
to the people on the ground.
Yeah,
so that was
what
a good move.
What he's telling you is things are changing.
Right.
Over
we're getting
there.
In there.
It's amazing. Anyway, what we'd like to do is, I guess, Candy's come in. Let's get the
Okay, let's go
in.
Get the
round. Yeah, because we don't have that much time on the show. And what we'd like to do is, with yourself, is kind of give us an update. Maybe come back in a month.
Sure.
And tell us what's going on, what
Absolutely.
We could do. And do you see any, countries... being involved in the middle of it, because I noticed Germany was with the new Iraqi regime
yes.
involved.
Yes, everybody wants to see a united and stable Iraq.
Right.
Yeah. It's good for everyone.
Okay. Oh, boy, we got... All right, anyway, thank you very much for coming
Thanks
on.
For having me.
And this young lady, we'll find out what she does, because she's part of her here. Come on, let's get a chair. Let's get him in. Thank you very much. We're coming in. Anyway, we're going to have the second half of the show. We're going to talk about actors, performers, and I think I'm getting a gift.
Yes, you are. Actually, it's right here.
Oh, God.
By the motivation speaker.
Oh, good, good. Because of the time, we'll try to get him in. Have a seat. Welcome. Have a seat. Yeah. And then what we'll do is thank you so much.
Oh, here.
Let me do one quick thing. Candy, could you give me my phone real quick? What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an update of the shooting that happened in Indiana. So what we try to do when I'm here on Friday nights is kind of give people an idea of what is happening around the world. So let me just break out in my news mode. Okay, let me just put on my news. And we'll talk to people real quick. Anyway, Candy... Let's go down the road. You introduce yourself, and then we'll go from there.
She is here for the Netflix show, The Witch's Hour.
She does what?
For The Witch's Hour. I think she's perfect.
For what? What does she do?
TV show that you're having.
Okay.
So, because she kind of resembles, her face.
Okay, we'll see. You know? As they say in the movies, we'll see. What about this young lady?
You called her, I think.
My publicist, Phil. I'm in Hollywood Fringe Festival, and I'm doing a one-woman show called Home Versus Life.
And that way, where is it playing at?
It's playing at the Lounge Theater.
Been there? I've been there. And tell us about the young man here.
He's a
photographer. All right. Tell us about yourself, the lady that we heard a little bit about.
Yeah, my name is Carolina.
You want to go talk to the mic, inside
here.
The mic.
My name is Carolina.
Okay.
I'm 30 years old, and this would be my first time talking on radio.
Have you performed?
No, I've never done any live performances. I mean, besides
Yeah, because when you do television, and I've told Candy, it's a different experience. And when you do TV, it's just being able to take that script, live on that script, and portray the script. We're doing something new for Amazon. We'll talk about another time about that. So you have any background in theatrical?
No.
Zero. Okay.
This is zero.
Can you get an acting coach?
All right. Well, he can help her.
Yeah.
Acting coach.
Yeah.
So tell us about your acting coach abilities.
He's a motivation speaker, actually.
All right.
Go ahead.
My name is HD3, the Unstoppable Force, and I am your best motivational speaker that you ever hear today.
Okay, cool. I like to hear it. Be positive.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, got to stay positive.
Well, you know what I had? Years ago, they used to have in Hollywood, they had famous acting school where, you know, Pacino would go. And actually, it's on I want to say Santa Monica Boulevard, the Lee Strasberg Institute. And I went to it. I was a candidate. But what I found from it, it made you build from A to B to C. But you got to have the willpower. Because acting is like, I would say like boxing, in a way, you know, as years later. Because you have to be able to master the craft. That's what boxing or acting is. It's like boxing.
Yes.
And one other thing is, now tell us, acting coach, tell us about the people that you have helped out. What different you do dialogue or what? What's the arena?
Okay. Basically, my background is like this. I always believe my quoted phrase is today's challenge builds tomorrow's champion.
Right.
I look to inspire and motivate people based off of the experiences that I've had in my life. Right. Some of the experiences that I've had, you know, growing up as a child, I didn't have a mother there. So basically, I grew up almost like an orphan, but quite not. But my dad came in and took me and raised me and taught me the values of being a man. And then from that point on, when I became an adult, had children, one of the biggest tragedies that did happen was when my daughter's mom passed away. So when she was 2 years old, I had to become Mr. Mom, you know, and raise her and show the different values of life. And one of my biggest things that I look at as...
I'm trying to do an update on the story.
Okay.
It's okay. That's what I'm trying to.
We're always trying to grind in our everyday life.
Uh-huh.
And I look at it like this: today's grind builds tomorrow's champion.
Right.
So
that's true.
So when it comes down to it, you know, when the grind gets tough, the tough keeps grinding. You got to keep pushing forward. I always believe that there's a process when it comes to success. It's the start and there's the finish line. But
right.
In between is the process, the good, the bad, and what just happened moments that we have to endure through. We have to persevere through.
Right.
We have to fight through. We have to believe that we're going to actually get to that finish line. Because sometimes we forget as we're going through the process, the roadblocks. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, I can't handle it. Oh, this is tough.
Right.
What it's doing, it's making us stronger.
That's true.
It's making us tougher.
That's true.
Because when we do get to the finish line and we accomplish our goal, we show that we have claimed the victory.
Right.
Once we claim that victory and we do come across other obstacles later on in life, we're going to be able to handle that. And so what I'm doing is I'm doing workshops to show that process. Okay, how do you stay focused on the process? Visualize your goal. Visualize your dreams. See it. Write it down. Talk about it. Think about it. Focus. Speak to people who are on a positive mindset.
Right.
Do not focus around negative energy. I truly believe that.
That's
you know,
you're right.
What you put out,
very right.
What you put out is what you're going to get back.
Yeah,
you know,
he's right because like today was a big day in the news because of Harvey Weinstein and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the women that talked about it was very painful for a lot of the women to talk about Harvey Weinstein. And with that in mind, what you're saying, acting could be painful. It could be very, you know, when you look at it, you know, it could be like, I don't want to experience that, but it's emotion.
Yes.
And that's what you have to realize. And you have to be willing to learn and feel whatever you're going to feel at that moment. It's moment by moment, right, Candy?
Yes, that's right.
She got that gold spark. See, well, they'll see it on our Facebook. I wanted to do a quick update.
Yeah,
she's there. Let me give you a quick update. Because people have been asking me what's going on where there was a shooting in Indiana. And we try to, there's a couple of things. Well, USC president resigned today. So because of the wake of women filing lawsuits against the medical school, medical department. So that happened. And what we want to do, the last thing, is talk about what happened at the school. Let me see if I have anything. See, this is what we really do on the air. We find out if something happened. And then Morgan Freeman, the thing with Morgan Freeman with those with the ladies, we don't know. We will find out.
Good narrators.
Next week we're gonna have someone who knows him really well. I didn't get anything update. Okay. Anyway, there's two women, I guess, shot, and I don't have any update. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna see if I can go through my UPI and we'll see if we can get anything on that. Hawaii looks horrible.
So where can they find you if Hawaii. You
horrible stuff
for your stuff?
So let's, you know what I would say with acting? You know, what aspect of this craft do you want to learn about?
Are you asking
me? We'll ask everyone.
Everybody?
Yeah.
I just think it'd be a really nice experience. It's something definitely brand new to me.
Okay, but you're starting out with zero. But what I was going to say is, what you may want to do after tonight is learn from someone, really take it on if you really want it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a job. It's not like working at In-N-Out Burger. This is something you have to grasp it.
Because you're learning.
And it has to work for you. If it doesn't work for you, then it will never work.
But she's gonna
believe me,
get acting coach.
Spend money at the school I told you about. And until you see it and do rehearsals and you do your lines and everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't really mean anything. So you'll need training, definitely.
Of course.
That I don't provide. But because we're in the next category. We're in a professional level.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We have to see how it'll work for you. Because it's very hard to judge people in the acting arena. You know from the people that you've trained. It's a whole different ballgame. Now, lady number one, see, that's how we'll do it. Tell us about your experience in acting.
So I've been acting since I was 17. I went to school at North Carolina Central University.
Okay,
and I studied, it's in Durham, North Carolina. And I studied theater. And I was in a couple of plays in Durham at my school. And I was in a couple of plays like around the Raleigh-Durham okay. area. And then I moved here in 2013, and I've been...
Okay. So you've been here about 5 years.
Yes. Okay. And I recently, you know, just like the L.A. acting grind, trying to get jobs and stuff like that. So I decided to write, like, my own one-woman show so I can provide, like...
You do Netflix. You could do a, on the video end or on the TV end, just write your own thing, your vision.
Yeah.
Because people will see you in a different light if you write it up and, you know, perform it. The web series is very big.
Yeah.
In fact, I went, a gal that I had on my show, she did a web series. Now it's being picked up by Netflix. So that's
amazing.
Anything
that's
can happen. You don't know.
Yeah.
You guys gotta do is watch Netflix and see how
Oh, I love
it's very
Netflix.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard for us to
acting coaches.
Visualize until we see it. See, whatever it is, we have to see the visualization. Mm-hmm. Now, the acting coach, now where's your school? Is it out here?
Actually, I don't do acting.
I just do motivation.
Oh, you just do motivation. Okay.
But I do have that natural ability to be able to act.
Well, you can
project.
Do acting is a motivation because all the various teachers talked about motivation.
Cameron needs guys anyway on Netflix.
Needs motivation. How will you be able to, in a performance way, how will we be able to get something out of you in the performance end?
For me, I can say for this, I have nothing but passion. I have nothing but enthusiasm. Besides motivational speaking, I do music production also.
Okay,
as well.
So music, okay, because you got to separate both.
Exactly.
Music is one thing. Acting is another thing.
Exactly. But being on stage and being able to perform and get into character and get into that moment, that's something that I've harnessed for over years.
Right.
And when it comes to the motivational speaking, I've trained. I've done seminars.
Uh-huh.
Basically, to get that confidence level, it all boils down to confidence and self-love of how you feel about yourself.
It's true.
And if you're confident in what you're doing, you perfect your craft is what I call it. You're perfecting your craft. You're studying it. You're right. Projecting out. You're acting it out. You're living it. You're breathing it. You're feeling it. That's what I bring right there. That's the passion that I feel right there. You know,
the reason I bring it up is because we're doing a professional thing. I have to look at everything as a writer, which I am, and the producer. And I have to see people blending. They don't blend, ain't going to work.
Exactly. You chemistry.
Know? And lastly, what I was going to say because of time, next week we're going to have, you won't be here, will you be here next
yes,
week?
Yes.
And they'll be here exciting. Next week. Anyway, next week we'll get into more of the acting bit because we had a big show today.
Okay.
You know, like I said.
So do you want the girls to...
what I'd like her to do...
Monologue. They should do a monologue.
Well, what we'd like to do is maybe we'll give her a line, okay. Not this time, because we don't have much time left.
Okay.
And then we can see how she performs. Okay. That's the only thing we can do.
You too, yeah.
And as for the young lady that has an acting, just to have you perform.
Okay.
Yeah,
that would
course.
Be good.
And she
anyway,
like the
try it out, you know?
Yeah, well, you have to, you know, get a line and see how it goes, how it
yeah.
meets you. Does it meet you? That's okay.
Okay.
It's like when I do radio, sometimes things will come out. I'll say stuff. I go, oh, yeah, it'll come out. But you think about it. Like I had, you know, we're talking about UFOs, and that's an arena I got into. But you think about what it's going to be. You'll get some practice, so we'll have you back. But I want to see some practice. And this is good, the first shot. But I want to see some more. And we'll put you on the radio, see if it's your liking. That'd be great. That's the only thing I could say, right?
Yep.
Let me give you a shot.
It's pretty exciting.
Candy knows.
Yes.
All right, so with that in mind, I was going to tell everyone that next week we're going to get into more of the acting.
Yes.
And we hope to, we're going to try to see if we get John Amos on, the one who I met today. He was phenomenal. We talked about the early days of performing, of how he, you know, you see the networks wouldn't pick certain people because of the race. He told me what about CBS? And I said, I'd be ashamed to go to CBS of how when they did, you know, Good Times and they did, what's the other one? They did Good Times and they did the Jeffersons of how the network shouldn't want it to go on. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Now we've come from that to now principal shows like Empire. Empire's an amazing show. And also
Power.
Star.
Power. Have you seen that show?
Power I've seen.
Oh my
Star.
God, I love that show.
Anyway, I got to go. I got to get off the air. But I want to thank you all for coming on. We want to wish all our, everyone that came, thank you very much for coming. Bye. And we got to get off the air. So good night from Los Angeles.
Yes.
All right. Let me just get us.
You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker.